I love Living Word. This is how we celebrate. There is no small thing here. You know why? Because there is no small guest in here. Oh, you didn't hear me. There is no small thing here because there is no small destiny here. You see, if people only knew when Jesus and the mother came, when the mother came pregnant, looking for a place to give birth, if they only knew who it was that was in that womb, they would go kick out even the VIP and say, get out of the room. We have a king that is about to be born. Are you hearing me, somebody? Each time can be a president tomorrow. Oh, you didn't hear me? Each time can be a president, not just a president, the president of the United States of America. And then you can boldly say, I was there for your dedication. You can begin to look for some of these pictures now. You look for online, Living Word Facebook, and say, this is me. This is me by here. Are you hearing me? You hear what I'm saying? Oh, yes. He can be, there are soccer players whose, you know, some of you, your monthly salary or your monthly paycheck, if you get 4,000, you are good. There are some soccer players whose weekly pay is 2 point something million, weekly. If Ethan is one of them, you can now say, in fact, why would we be praying that way? I'm trying to build new church. We'll scatter this one. Build something here and just go somewhere and say, we have a son. Oh, you didn't hear me. Are you hearing me, somebody? No, that is why we praise God, because you don't know who it is you're dealing with. And that goes right into the topic that we're going to be preaching about today, the value of relationships. You know, we're talking about arise, shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon you. And we talk about many things. I wanted to move on to start a new series. But because we have not finished well with that one on relationships, we're going to stay there a little bit. Okay? We're going to stay there a little bit. We're going to camp around there a little bit. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. So if you have your Bibles, let's go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 10. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 10. It says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for what?
For good works.
You were not created for bad works. Created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Isaiah chapter 43 verse 21. Isaiah 43 verse 21. Hallelujah. He said, these people I have formed for myself. These people I have formed for myself. They shall declare my praise. Let's pray. Father, we thank you because the entrance of your word gives light and understanding to the simple. We thank you because you formed us that we should show forth your praise. You've called us to shine. You've called us, oh God, to walk in good works which you created for us. And Lord, I pray for everyone under the sound of my voice, that when we leave this place, Lord, we would have been transformed by your word. And we will be careful to give you the glory, the honor, and the adoration. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You know, we've said this, that God met you and I for greatness. You didn't come to this life to see some people off. No, you didn't come to this life to see the people off. You did not come to this life to suffer. Let that sink in. You didn't come to suffer. You believe that? You did not come to suffer. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, thoughts of good, not of evil, to give you a hope and a future, to bring you to an expected end. This version says to give you peace, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Before you were conceived in your mother's womb, God knew you and ordained you to be a prophet to the nations. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So you are called and born for greatness. And I've shown you from scripture, it says, we are his workmanship. Workmanship means that we are his work of art. He's crafted us, created in Christ Jesus. Ephesians chapter 2. Created in Christ Jesus, Ephesians 2:10, for good works, which God has ordained for us to walk therein. For we are his workmanship. We are his crafts. We are his design. He didn't design you a failure. That's why Isaiah says in Isaiah chapter 6, he said, arise, shine, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Arise, shine, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Then he says, just in case you want to say, well, pastor, you don't know, there's darkness in the world and everything. Then he says, for behold, darkness shall cover the earth. So let him tell you, your shining is not going to be shining. You're not going to be shining just when everything is perfect. He says in verse 2, he said, for behold, darkness shall cover the earth and deep darkness the people. But you are supposed to be shining. Oh, you didn't hear me. He said, what? But the Lord will arise over you and his glory will be seen upon you. He will arise over you and his glory will be seen upon you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, it will be sad for the Lord to rise over you and then his glory is not seen upon you because you've refused to rise. It will be sad for the Lord to be expecting you here, to hold you, to have his glory here, waiting for you to rise and meet it. And then you sit there in the low place of life, in lowly bar. Oh, the lowly bar is a place in the Bible. There was a child, there was a guy who was born in the family of kings. Mephibosheth. And his life, by design, because somebody messed up with his life, he fell off and, you know, got crippled. And they took him to a place called Lolibar. And he lived a low life there. But when he came to the king, the fact that his feet were crippled did not matter anymore. Because he rose to the level at which the king raised him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He was fearful that they were inviting him to kill him. He did not know that they were inviting him to cause his glory to be seen. Until he left Lolibar, his life never shone. God ordained you to shine.
Amen.
Are you hearing me, somebody?
Amen.
God ordained you to shine. So we began to look from the Bible to see different things that will help or enhance your shine. There are different things that can enhance your shine. If you study even aesthetics, right? You study aesthetics, some people call it aesthetics, however you want to call it. If you study that, you find out, or interior decoration, you find out that there are certain paint, color combination, that when you do them, it causes light to shine brighter. You know, if you paint your house white, it makes the house look bigger. Oh, you didn't know. It makes the house look bigger. You paint it a certain color, it makes it look smaller. Everything looks tight. Oh, we didn't paint this ceiling black just for the sake of painting because we wanted to paint. There's a reason for it. It takes away the imperfections and help you focus on what is that, what we want you to focus on. That's the purpose of all of that. Yes. Revelation. So, there are certain things that will enhance your shining. And we've talked about some of them. And the last 2 weeks, we talked about being in the right place. Like we just see, when Mephibosheth was in Lolibar, his life was low. When Paul was walking on the crooked path, his life was crooked. But when God wanted to straighten him, the Bible says God took him to a street called Straight in the Bible. And there his life was straightened out. And so we talk about right place, being in the right place. And that right place was a place where you know, we talk about even in the Bible, Jesus, when he was born, his star shone. You know, you have a star that shines. And wise men followed his star. But when they got to a certain territory where there was an evil force, the star disappeared. Mm-hmm. They had to start asking questions. But when they left that territory, the star appeared back. Anything that is causing your shine to be obscure, may God and his angels fight against them. Yeah. In the name of Jesus Christ. Yeah. So I know we've already spent time celebrating. So let me spend time celebrating with the word. Give me a few minutes. Let's work this word today so we can see how to do this. So we're talking about right relationships. We're talking about the value of right relationships. You see, although you are ordained to shine, you cannot shine alone. God will use people. Remember I said there are certain ingredients. You see, this light bulb doesn't shine just, it didn't just hang somewhere. It is hanging on a ceiling, connected to a wire. So there is connections. Connections that is able to take power from the supply and bring it to it, to cause it to shine. It is shining in its own place, but it is related and intermingled with other things. In fact, let me use, how many of you have ever had this Christmas decoration, the Christmas lighting, that in those days, some of the older ones, that if one of the bulbs gets bad, the whole thing goes off. Then you have to start tracing to find which one it is, and when you find it and they fix it, all of a sudden everything shines. That's very good. That makes the whole point I'm making. Sometimes we don't realize that God has made our lives interdependent on each other. That if we help this person shine, it is not just for ourselves, it's not just for themselves, it's that God, our shine is attached to that. I'll show you through scripture today. John chapter 5, beginning from verse 1, there was a certain man who was born lame from his mother's womb. John chapter 5, verse 1. The value of godly relationships. Tell your neighbor there's value in godly relationships. Whether it is friendships. No, tell them whether it is friendships, connections, or marriage. There is value in them. It brings value. It brings value. It brings value to you. There's a value that comes to it. John chapter 5, the Gospel of St. John chapter number 5, beginning from verse number 1. Hallelujah. Amen. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there was in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first, after the stirring of the water, was made well of whatever disease he had. Verse 5. Now, a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been in that condition a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered. I want you, the reason I'm reading it is so that you can get the context, but where I want you to see is what the man said. The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. I have no man. There is no help. I am at the place where there is solution. I'm at the place where for 38 years, now imagine, it's been 38 years. So even other people have been coming and going before him. If he just had somebody for 38 years, he would not be waiting where there was solution. And yet, you know, Bethesda, the Bible says that an angel of the Lord will come down and stir the water. Why didn't the angel just come and carry him? He needed a man. He needed a man. He needed a man. Some people, they, "Oh, God is my help." That is true. I lift up my eyes to the hills where my help comes from. But God will use people. You need people in your life. You need people, human beings. You need a man. When Jesus came as the man, do you want to be made well? He did not answer Jesus yes or no. His goal was to be made well. He knew he was at a place of solution. But he told Jesus, I've been here a long time. I've seen people made well. So I want to be made well. That's why I was brought here. But I have no man to push me. Just push me into the place. I look at solution, but there's nobody to push me. The value of godly relationships. The value of godly relationships. The value of godly relationships. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Job chapter 29. Job captures this. This Job chapter 29, verse 15 and 16, captures this statement, the value here very well. It says something. Job chapter 29, verse 15, it says, I was eyes to the blind, and I was feet to the lame. Verse 16. I was a father to the poor, and I searched out the case that I did not know. Thank you. That's it. He says, I was an eye to the blind. Verse 15 and 16, that's all. I was an eye to the blind. And I was a feet to the lame. Sometimes you may not be blind, but you don't have eyes in the right place. Are you hearing me, somebody? I say you may not be blind, you may not be lame, but you don't have eyes in the right place. Sometimes you may be very capable, but don't have access to the right place that will cause you to shine. Yeah. And that's what Job was saying here. I was to others what they could not be for themselves. The man said, I can see the stirring of the water. I can see the angel come. I can see the rejoicing of other people. I can see the potential for my healing. But I have no man, no one to help me. I have no one to help me. Thank God Jesus came to that place because Jesus became his helper. Are you hearing me, somebody? Jesus became his helper. Even also, he would have still been in that condition for a long more time. He was there 38 years. He would have still been another several years till he dies in that misery. So any concept in your mind, any belief that you will make it alone, that you are your own person, that you don't need anybody to help you, it is the life from the pit of hell that will only destroy you. Are you hearing me, somebody? Now, I know we live in America, home of the free and land of the brave. It's good that you know you can do it by your own. Thank God. You work hard. You need somebody to give you the job. Are you hearing me, somebody? With all your hard work, you need somebody to give you the job. You need people. He said, well, Pastor, I went and applied. They gave me a job. Praise God. Hallelujah. I work and it shows. Thank God for it. It takes one person to be against you for that job to be gone. One. Some of you have dealt with it at your places of work. Co-workers who are jealous. Bosses who don't like you. Who are threatening that you are there to take their position. So if you can know that the devil can use people who are vicious to come against you, why can't God also use people who are good to raise you up? The value of right relationships. So last week we began to see how that people, somebody like a Lot, his rising was dependent on his relationship with Abraham. Praise God. So we saw Abraham and Lot in that light. There was a boy called Moses. There was a young man called Moses. When he was born, similarly to how we dedicated Ethan today, when he was born, there was an edict that was given by a king for the destruction of every male child that was born. Now the midwives who were delivering the children were not Hebrew midwives. They were Egyptian midwives. So they had orders that they had to follow. But they were destiny helpers. Because when that child was born, they could kill the child right there. They had an order. They were backed by the law. But they decided to say, we will preserve this one. We will show. We will cover them. Are you hearing me, somebody? Oh, let's look. I know we have a few minutes. So let's go to Exodus chapter 2, verse 1 to 10. And I want you to see Exodus chapter 2, verse 1 to 10. Hallelujah. Is this making sense to somebody already?
Yes.
You need, there's value in godly relationships. Value in godly relationships. Value in godly relationships. You know, we have a generation that sometimes when God uses people to be a blessing to us, we turn around and we curse them. We turn around, we bite the fingers that fed us. We turn around, sometimes we feel, we look like we know it all. You have children who rise up and look at their parents and tell their parents, you know, all kinds of mean words. Forgetting that there are some parents who decided that their own children will not leave. He says, and a man of the house of Levi went out and took a wife, a daughter of Levi, who had a chance to preach about it one day. So the woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid him 3 months. Now, she did not hide him alone, because she didn't just give birth to him alone. There were people there.
Yes.
And the people could have reported, but they didn't. She hid him 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she took an ark of bulrushes for him, daubed it with asphalt and pitch, put the child in it, and laid it in the reeds by the river banks. And his sister stood afar off to know what would be done to him. He was in no man's land. The sister could not help him anymore. You know what he was? He was destined to be a deliverer. But here he was helpless. Here he was in a reed. Here he was in this little ark by the river. And the river could flow to any place. The water could carry him. He could be crushed by the rocks in the river. That thing could go and flip at one point when it hits a current. Let's look at verse 5. Then the daughter of Pharaoh, hey, somebody say you need a man.
You need a man.
Then the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river, and her maidens walked along the riverside, and when she saw the ark among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it. And when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. This was a deliverer. This was a child with great destiny. But he was helpless. He wept. So she had compassion on him and said, so she wasn't oblivious to the fact that that child was not an Egyptian child. She said this. This is one of the Hebrews' children. Somebody say, you need help. Yes, God had raised her as a destiny helper, because now imagine her father or brother or whoever Pharaoh was to her, whether she was a brother to Pharaoh or she was a daughter. In fact, the Bible says she was a daughter to Pharaoh. So her father gave a law. And so when she saw this child, she could have enforced the law. But the Bible says she had compassion on him. And even though she knew categorically that this was one of the child of what is quote unquote enemy, she took him in. Verse 7. Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for you? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. So the maiden went and called the child's mother. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this child away and nurse him for me. Did you just see what happened here? Oh, did you just see what happened here? It needed somebody in authority to be able to make an order, issue an order that contravenes the other order and protects you and still pay you for nursing your own child. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this child away and nurse him for me. I will give you your wages. I'll give you your wages. So the woman took the child and nursed him. May God raise for you destiny helpers. You see, there are valuable godly relationships that when they come into your life, you are elevated from where you are to a place that you never imagined. Here this woman was trying to hide this child. Now they have told her, go openly and do it. And not just are you doing it openly, you do it proudly, and you'll be paid on it. And you'll be paid generously, handsomely. Hallelujah. Oh, God is good. Hallelujah. I said, God is a good, good God. Hallelujah. Amen. I'll give you your wages. I'll give you your wages. Oh, hallelujah. Shabahato robo saya. You see, when God begins, there are some relationships that God begins to orchestrate. He begins to do this. He begins to, sometimes some of us as human beings, we get too complicated. We allow our ego, our emotions come into place to begin to destroy godly things that God has put in place for our elevation. Now imagine that woman came and said, oh no, you are Pharaoh's daughter. You, it is your father, wicked father, who has ordered that children be killed. Give me my child. You're trying to steal my child. Imagine that. Yet, she was ordained. Never despise people.
Yes.
Are you hearing me, somebody? Never despise people. You see, there are relationships that God creates to take you to a certain place in life. And you may not know it. But what God has planned for you, He will use people to bring it to come to pass.
Yes.
Now, hear me. Moses needed to be trained in the wisdom of the Egyptians. So when he grew up in the palace like Pharaoh's daughter, he had exposure to the best education. He understood Egypt 100%. That's why when God called him at Mount Sinai and God told him, hey, go tell Pharaoh, let my people go. He said, what will you give? He asked God questions because he knew that these people were people who were diabolical. So God had to make his rod become powerful. Because he knew Pharaoh had magicians. He grew up there. He saw them. He knew their diabolism. Who shall I say, send me? Because he understood. He was exposed. You see, there are relationships that expose you to the right kind of information, to make you ask the right kind of questions. Let's look at Acts chapter 7. And they say Moses, right? So, you know, one thing that I do here is there are people whose minds have debates between Old Testament and New Testament. So that's what I'm helping you answer the debates. You may say that is Old Testament. Now we live in the New Testament. We don't need anybody because Jesus is our grace. Christ in you, the hope of glory. You know there are corrupt minds that know how to twist scriptures to make their point. From now on, we need nobody. The Holy Spirit is my helper. Thank God, He's your helper. We need nobody. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Thank God, He's the hope of glory. You still need a man. The Holy Spirit is a spirit. You are human. You see, like I've told you, when you pray your best prayer, oh God, give me money, give me money, give me money. If God opens heaven, there is no dollar in heaven. In fact, what will fall on you is gold. And the gold may kill you before you can use it. Imagine if a big chunk of gold just come from heaven. You will die before you use it. So when you pray, what God does is He touches the heart of people. He makes them restless. He said, Lizette, you cannot sleep tonight. Listen, hear me, you cannot sleep. God just begins to bring the person to your heart over and over. Wake up, wake up, wake up. My daughter is praying somewhere. Now, you're not hearing, you're not saying their prayers. But as you're praying, God is stirring up hearts. Stirring up hearts. Stirring up hearts. And then just say, I don't know why, but I just feel in my heart that I should do this for you. That's answer to prayers. Answer to prayers. Acts chapter 7. Let's look at verse number 22 to 25. Acts chapter 7, verse 22 to 25. After this, you all give me a few more minutes. Let me give you two other examples and we'll close. Okay? Thank you. You're generous with your time. You know, we use the time to celebrate Eton. So when you start getting good gifts from Eton, you remember that your pastor took you a little bit longer because you need to celebrate Eton. Acts chapter 2 verse 22, Acts chapter 7 verse 22, it says, and Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. Question to you, how did Moses end up being learned? They say it took a man. It took a woman. Destiny helper. And was mighty in words and deeds. Verse 23. Now when he was 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. 24, we're going to 25. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended and avenged him who was oppressed and struck down the Egyptian. For he supposed that his brethren would have understood. Hey. See what I'm saying? He supposed that his brethren would have understood that God would deliver them by his hand. But they did not. But they did not
understand.
See, they didn't know the value of of man. They were praying to God, oh God, send help, send help. And God sent a man. They couldn't see. They couldn't see that God answered their prayer. He supposed that they will understand that God would deliver them by his hand. But they did not. They did not help. They did not understand. They saw him. They saw him. They said, is this not Moses? Don't we know his father and mother? Look at him. What does he think he is? In fact, one of them, you know, it is for the sake of one of those he was sent to help that he ran away. Do you know Moses ran away from Egypt because of the one of the people he was supposed to help. He ran away. He became a fugitive for that sake. May God open our eyes to understand and to see those God has ordained, relationships he's ordained in our lives to hold our hands. Amen. To the next level. Amen. Now, hear me. I said this, you are ordained to shine. You are born to shine. There are people who God places in certain places who will speak about you and will open doors for you. You know the man called Jesus, right? He's God by himself. He's God. Jesus is God. You know that, right?
Yes.
Even Jesus needed help. When Jesus was nailed to the cross, his body was hanging there on the cross. He was nailed to the cross. In the Gospel of John chapter 19, verse number 38, there's a man called Joseph. John chapter 19, verse 38, there was a man called Joseph. He says, after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, you never knew about him until this passage came, until the help was needed. But secretly, for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate, hey, question, could Peter ask Pilate? Could John ask Pilate?
No.
There was no relationship. John had no access. Peter had no access. In fact, the only access that Peter had was in the gate, by the gate and the court, and there he denied Jesus. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
Before a slave girl and before other people, he denied Jesus. He said, I don't know him. Mm-hmm. But now it came when Jesus was crucified. He died on the cross, and yet his body was hanging there. He needed people who had access, certain access, influence, certain influence, destiny helpers, people who have access to where you cannot have it. You are destined for greatness, but there are people who will introduce you. They will open the door, introduce you. Are you hearing me, somebody? And Joseph, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for the fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him permission. If John, Peter, James, Bartholomew, all of them gather together and form a prayer meeting. Oh Lord, as we pray now, let the body of Jesus, permission will not be given. Heaven will give permission, but in man to go to the person who has authority and power. Are you hearing me, somebody? Sometimes when we pray, God just sends somebody. Oh, I'm telling you, when we pray, God just sends somebody. I could share with you my testimony, but time doesn't permit me. In fact, 2 weeks ago, they were just praying. We prayed. We prayed some different prayers. We just prayed. Somebody walked into me. I was standing somewhere working. Somebody just came, just driving. He was looking around. And I was going to ask him, do you need help? But God had sent him to come. He had answered to some prayers that I had been praying.
Wow.
He came in to see another person who was standing with me. The person saw him. The person came and introduced him to me. And from there, him and I are now closer than the person who introduced him to me. To the level we traveled to Texas together. Are you hearing me, somebody?
Yes.
You know, you've got to understand these things. You, no matter how anointed you are, you need people. And you need to value people. Godly relationships. Godly relationships. Godly relationships. In fact, it is... Historically, the Bible doesn't say that, but historically it is alleged that the place, the tomb where Jesus was buried, was that belonged to Joseph of Arimathea. Because he was in a garden, he was beautiful. The Bible, he was laid down with the rich. Let's look at that John chapter 8. Let's finish it. And let me show you two other people. Hallelujah. You know, I'm taking time because we are Pentecostals or Pentecostals. So, or charismatic or charismaniacs. Sometimes we just sing, oh, praise the Lord. We just dance, like David dance and this. You need people. Even David needed help.
Oh, yes.
He needed people.
Allies. Let's go. John, the Gospel of John. Let me finish this thing on time. Help me. Let's finish this. John chapter 19, verse 38. We're going all the way to 42. Let's go, verse 39. So they took him. And Nicodemus, you know who Nicodemus was? He was a guy who came at night in John chapter 3. He said, what was one do to inherit eternal life? He too was influential. So it was Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, who at first came to Jesus by night, also came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds. Then they took the body of Jesus and bound it in strips of linen with spices, as the custom of the Jews is to bury him. So they needed to do the burial rites to the body. And that was preparing him for resurrection. Because the evidence of the resurrection was the empty tomb, but also the linen. Somebody brought it. Do you see that? Wow. Now, in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden. The garden was not for poor people. And in the garden, a new tomb in which no one had yet been laid. Wow. It is alleged that new tomb was owned by Joseph of Arimathea. So they laid Jesus. So there they laid Jesus because of the Jewish preparation for the day, for the tomb was nearby. Nearby. Why should you be looking for help going all the way from here to far away when there's something nearby? Right. God just introduces the person nearby. Mm-hmm. Say, help this woman. Yeah. Help this brother. Mm-hmm. And the person doesn't have to be Christian. Yes. Did you hear me? Yes. Pharaoh's daughter was not Jewish. Yes. Oh, you didn't hear me. Yes. And the person must not only be up. The person must not only be above you. Because you know, some people who are pretentious in nature, they like big people. So if you hear that somebody is this, you know, you start looking up to them like, oh, this is my destiny helper. Let me tell you this. God, one day God delivered me. When we're starting ministry, one millionaire received a letter. She called me like, oh, Blaise, the Lord has put in my heart to help you too. So I knew that the Lord has answered prayers. So he said, come to my office and see me. Are you hearing me, somebody? Oh, I suited up. I dressed up that day. I suited up. Had my tie. I cannot forget that tie. I entered that office. Even the secretary looked at me like, yeah. She knew I didn't come for a job. She knew I came for special. She treated me like VIP. Called the man. He was in his office. Certain places here to see you. And she was like, oh, do you need water? Treated me well. Like how I was packaged. I was presented. You know, I sat in that place for 1 hour. That man never talked to me. He invited me himself. The secretary called until she started turning red because he had told her not to bother him anymore. That story ended there like that. When I left from there, I was disappointed. And as I entered my car, a scripture came to my heart. Cursed be anyone who puts his trust in the arm of the flesh. Because sometimes you look at people, you're thinking this is the way the answer is going to come. No, it doesn't. Yeah. Let me show you something in the book of 2 Kings. 2 Kings. So sometimes we look to people who are up there. Like, yeah, this is it. This is the one who's going to help me. And then we are passing those who are beside us. I remember I was at a conference somewhere with my wife. I think last year, someone was at a conference somewhere. There's a guy there who, he sang. He didn't sing very well, but he sang. He did all right. He did all right. But I just, like, you know, I like to help people. When I saw we were talking, we were having conversations. I was one of the junior people in the conferences. And there was a guy, a tech guru from California. He had this private jet. He came to that conference himself. And so I saw they were all just, he was just always just going around to these people before they give you $1, they have calculated cost-benefit analysis. They are thinking about ROI, return on investment. They don't just give money like that. But I had something that guy needed. So we began to talk and I found out he had a need. I'm like, okay, he brushed me aside. He brushed me aside. Started chasing after other things. He saw a place that was big. He saw this, that was that. Yet some of the big people where he was going to, they were connecting with me. They were telling, you have something we need. He brushed me aside. thinking he's going to find help here. 2 weeks later, he started calling my number voraciously and everything. I just texted him. You see, the thing is that I've moved on. The time when I could help or where position, all I needed, I couldn't do, I just could introduce you to somebody who I know will answer your prayers. Yeah. And avoid you a lot of headache down the lane. Second Kings. Oh, let me finish this for the sake of time, please. Second Kings chapter 5 verse 3. There was a certain man, a general, military general. 2 Kings chapter 5 verse 3. Let's begin from verse 1. That way you can get context. Context so you can know. Don't just hear from Pastor Blaise. It says, now Naaman, the commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great... 2 Kings chapter 5 verse 1. Let's go to verse 1. I want you to see some words there. He was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but a leper. He had everything going for him except one. The Lord was waiting for him, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out on raids and brought back captive a young girl from the land of Israel. She waited on Naaman's wife. So she was a maid to this man's wife. In other words, she was a slave girl. Verse 3. Then she said to her mistress, if only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy. She was observant. She had answer to prayers that they've been praying. He had gone everywhere for healing, looked with every amount of money, with his military apparel, he would disguise, he would cover what is under, he is rotting on the inside. But this girl had a key. She was strategically placed. Say with me, divine appointments and destiny helpers. Time doesn't permit me to read the rest of the story for you. When she said it, she didn't even talk to him. She just needed to be with him in the right place. She met the suggestion. See what verse 4, I love Naaman. I love this man. He was a proud man, but he was a man who looked for help. The Bible says, and Naaman went in and told his master, saying, thus and thus said the girl who is from the land of Israel. So he took the counsel, he took the advice. He might have despised her, but he took the advice. And his master gave command and entourage to go. And they went to see Elisha, to see the prophet for healing. And he told him, go dip yourself in the water. He had money. He went there with his money, thinking his money is going to... They said, no, I don't need your money. I don't need clothes. Just go to that river. Dip yourself in the water. He was like, do you know how many better rivers we have in where I come from? And all you, I thought you would come out and pray for me and gyrate over me and anoint me and do this. But the word he spoke was powerful.
Yes.
And after being inflated with ego, he finally calmed down. And he went and dipped himself. And the Bible says his body became like that of a new baby. He was healed. Question to you, how did the healing come about? Is it just because Elisha? No. The little girl, how sometimes we despise people around us. Who are the people who God has sent to hold our hands, to open doors for us, to introduce us to something that will help us? Godly relationships. Value of godly relationships. Oh, time doesn't permit me to tell you this, but if you're here, you're single, as a girl, sometimes guys come talk to you. You may not like them. They may not be your class. It's not a problem. You have to have a taste, okay? It's not a problem. Somebody may talk to you, and you don't look at them like, you know, you are compatible. They are not the kind of person you want to present yourself with. It's fine. Treat them with honor. Are you hearing me, somebody? Treat them with honor. Treat them with honor. They may be the one that will introduce you to the next person. The guy you've been praying for who has 6 packs, one chest, or, you know, a rib chest, with a good dental formula, who is 6'2", who looks like MM, the guy you make, See how he's blushing now. See how he's blushing. The guy you may be praying for may be friends. Maybe through them that you will get to know. So now because they came and you don't like them, all of a sudden, you know, you are not my level. You're not my class. That's how you write off your destiny helper. Shall I give you one last example? Let me give you one last example and we close. One more example, please. I want to apologize for taking time, but you know that's how we've been cutting this thing short. So one last example. It's a Sunday. Yeah, thank you. Let's go to Ruth chapter 1. Ruth chapter 1. The value of godly relationships. Ruth chapter 1. There was a woman called Ruth. In fact, the book of Ruth is about her. Her name is eternally etched in the Bible, not because of Ruth, but because of a relationship. So let's read it. We're going to take time and read it. Okay? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Ruth is right after the book of Judges. It is before the book of Samuel. So if you are seeing Revelation, you have passed it. You've passed it by like 10 miles. If you are seeing Genesis, you've also passed it. You need to go forward a little bit. You have not reached it yet. And Judges is right after the book of Joshua. For some of you who don't read your Bible often, you cannot even open to that place. Yeah. Oh God. Ruth chapter 1, verse 1. Now it came to pass in the days, you know, the reason why I take time to read this is that I want you to see, I want the Bible to speak for itself. I could just go straight to the part, just cut it out and give it to you, but I want you to read so you can see the context of what we're saying. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to dwell in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, the name of his wife was Naomi, and the names of his sons, two sons, were Mahlon and Chilion. To the country of Moab, the Ephrathites of Benjamin, Judah. And they went to the country of Moab and remained there. Then Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and had two sons. Verse 4, this is where the story begins to get interesting. Now they took wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years. Then both Mahlon and Chilion also died. So the woman survived her two sons and her husband. So yes, she was a widow. Yes, she was a woman who looked helpless and who actually was helpless. You know, you could look at her and say, this woman, maybe there's something about her. She's cursed because her husband has died and all her children has died. She's a witch. In some places, yeah, that's how some people do. In some places, they will say she's a witch. Oh yes, absolutely. Some people will do that. They'll ostracize her. Give her bad names. The Bible says in verse 6, then she arose with her daughter-in-laws that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had visited his people by giving them bread. Time doesn't permit me to tell you about right location. Right location. Right location. Even though there was famine in Israel, there was not death. They didn't die there. They were in wrong location. Death visited them. And time doesn't permit me to show you this. When she heard that the Lord visited, why did the Lord not visit Moab? Wrong location. Then she went out from the place where she was and her two daughters-in-law with her, and then they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. And Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as you have dealt with the dead and with me. So in other words, they were good girls. They had treated their husbands well. They had treated their mother-in-law well. Hallelujah. If you are good, they will bless you. The mother-in-law blessed them. Tell them, go back, greet them. God will bless you. May the Lord deal kindly with you. See what he says in verse 9. The Lord grant that you may find rest, each in the house of her husband. In other words, she was reaching them. My children are dead. Go get married. Go get remarried. Find rest in the house of your husbands. Message is coming to somebody now. I'm not going to get distracted on that. So she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, surely we will return with you to your people. But Naomi said, turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there still sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband tonight and should also bear sons, would you wait for them till they were grown? Would you restrain yourselves from having husbands? No, my daughters, for it grieves me very much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. Then they lifted up their voices and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung. I want you to say that word. Clung. She did what she clung. There are some relationships that you cling to. You hold it tight. You hold it tight. You know the song, draw me close. Closer than before, closer than I've ever been. There are some relationships you draw yourself close. You cling. The Bible says, but Ruth clung to her. What is it that was to cling? After this woman has blessed you, released you, told you shall be well with you, Ruth was not looking for her own benefit. She clung to her. The next words basically says why she clung. Ruth clung to her. And she said, look. So Ruth clung to her. And Naomi said to her, look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law. Verse number 16. This is powerful. You know, we sing this, people sing this song, they do this, but you've got to understand relationships. He said, but Ruth said, entreat me not to leave you. In other words, don't beg me to leave you. You may not have anything to offer. You may seem like you don't have anything to offer, but don't beg me to leave you. Or turn back from following after you. Isn't yourself from going with you, following after you? In other words, you are leading the way. No, turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people. And your God, my God. Verse 17. Where you die, I will die. This was a powerful pledge, powerful commitment. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. The Lord do so to me. This was an oath she was saying. She was saying, if I break this, may the Lord do so. May the Lord kill me. Let it be a curse. The Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts you and me. Right relationship. Tell somebody the value of godly relationships. We're going somewhere to happen because you've got to see this. You've got to see this. There are some mysteries you will see that changed because of godly relationships. So let's read on. When she saw that she was determined to go with her, she stopped speaking to her. Now the two of them went until they came to Bethlehem. And it happened when they had come to Bethlehem that all the city was excited because of them. And the women said, is this Naomi? But Naomi said to them, do not call me Naomi, call me Mara. And Mara means bitter. For the Almighty has dealt bitterly with me. So in other words, this girl was there seeing her mother-in-law bitter and mourning. She said, I'm not going to leave you. She still saw value in her. Sometimes some of you, some individuals, let me not say some of you because we don't have those kind of people here. And if we have them, they are changing. Yeah. In the name of Jesus. Sometimes some people only have value for you when you are up. Yeah. When you are down, they see you, they're like, he's troubled, he's bitter. The Lord has left him. Yes. No, this one saw, and she said, no, I'm going to hold on to this woman. Yeah. They don't call me that. Verse 22, 21. We're going somewhere, we're going to finish this. See what she said. I went out full. In other words, when Ruth saw her, she was full. Yeah. But when Ruth was following her now, she was seeming empty. I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home again empty. Why do you call me Naomi, since the Lord has testified against me and the Almighty has afflicted me? Now imagine you are with a mother-in-law who is telling you the Lord has testified against her and afflicting her, and you see, I will follow. I will follow. That means that person sees value in that relationship. I will follow. We will mend ourselves together. We will build ourselves together. Verse 22. Now Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess. Mark this word. If the Bible you have is yours, you love it. On the line, that word Moabitess. And Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law with her, who returned from the country of Moab. Now they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of barley harvest. So if you read on, you will find out other things about her. But I want to show you, I said mark the word Moabites, right? Because there was a curse on all Moabites. There was a curse on them. Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse number 3. We are dissecting scriptures today. Hallelujah. Oh, I love this. I love this. Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse number 3. Let me begin from verse 2. Hold on. Let's begin from verse 2. I'll give you a little bit of context. I'll give you a little bit of background here. He said, one of illegitimate birth shall not enter the assembly of the Lord. Even to the 10th generation, none of his descendants shall enter the assembly of the Lord. Did you see that? This was a law. Verse 3. An Ammonite. So it says one of illegitimate birth. It was general. Then it came down to specifics. It says an Ammonite or a Moabite shall not enter the assembly of the Lord. First, Ammon and Moab were of illegitimate birth. Those were the children that Lot, when Lot ran away, then his daughters made him drunk and everything. Those were the seed. Moab, the first daughter had Moab by Lot, and the second daughter had. So you see the background. Yeah. Incest. And the Bible says one of illegitimate birth shall not have anything. That was an edict. They say a Moabite is an Ammonite or a Moab shall not enter the assembly of the Lord, even to the 10th generation. None of his descendants shall enter the assembly of the Lord. Where? Where?
Forever.
The value of godly relationship. Let me shock you as we close. Matthew chapter 1, verse number 1. And verse number 1 and verse number 5. You're going to love this. It doesn't matter your background. It doesn't matter how you were conceived or how you were born, where you were born, who gave birth to you. When you are allied with the right relationship, first, the one with Jesus. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. And when you are aligned with the people, the household of God, life has changed for you forever. Matthew chapter 1 verse 1, it says, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. If we keep reading, you'll just be going on, going on, going. But let's keep for the sake of time so we can go to a certain verse. Let's go to verse 5. Remember, it says the book of what? The genealogy of Jesus Christ, right? Verse 5. Salmon begot Boaz by Rahab. Boaz begot Obed by Ruth. Obed begot Jesse. And Jesse was the father of David. What happened to Deuteronomy? That a Moabite shall not have anything to do in the house of the Lord. Not even to talk about the lineage. But because of godly relationships, when God was about to come into the world in the person of Jesus Christ, he made a choice and came down through the lineage of Ruth, one who was cursed, one who seemed to have come from a background that was cursed. But right relationships obliterated the curse against her life, against her genealogy, against her generation forever. Let me tell you this. Value people. Value people. It doesn't matter what background you have, where you come from, how you were conceived, where you were born, or how you were born. If one is in Christ, that is the first and the greatest relationship. But then one begins to intermingle and value the people of God around him. You are shining forever. I say you are shining forever. Oh, Ruth is set. There is a book written about Ruth. Did you see any the book of Oprah? And some of you have it in your Bible. The other daughter-in-law. She was a good girl. She was blessed by her mother-in-law. But her story ended. Where the relationship ended. Ruth has a book written in honor of her. Ruth's name falls in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. And if you go read that Matthew chapter, oh God. If you read that Matthew chapter 1, you read about the women who are there. The women whose names are mentioned particularly. None of them really have a clean life. Or none of them really have a life that should be. Time will not permit me to tell you about women. Something special. Rise to your feet, let's close. Oh, hallelujah. The value of godly relationships. The value of godly relationships. The value of godly relationships. There are people that God has ordained to help you. The Bible says, from now on, we know no man according to the flesh. Don't despise people. Don't judge them. Don't dismiss them. Don't push them aside. What you see with your eyes, may God open your eyes to see with your spirit.
Amen.
There are people God has ordained to help you. There are people God has ordained to introduce you to some things. I pray for you that your path will cross.
Amen.
That you will come across one another. You will appreciate them. They will appreciate you. They will see you for who you are. They will value you. And they will hold your hands. God says, behold, I set a door open before you which no man can shut. May God use people in positions of influence.
Yes,
in places of decision making.
Amen.
To open doors for you.
Amen.
Wherever your name is mentioned. May the right relationships come up.
Yes.
That helps you for your advancement.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
By the glory of God upon your life. May God cause you to shine.
Amen.
May he cause your steps to be ordered.
Amen.
To be ordered into the right friendships.
Yes.
Into right relationships. In the name of Jesus Christ, those around you that God has ordained for your good, may they stay. Those around you who the devil has orchestrated for your destruction, may God eject them out. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. May the Lord himself send help to you from above. May he open up the windows of heaven and send help to you from above. In the name of Jesus. May the glory of God be visible upon your life. In the name of Jesus. When you are helpless, when your dreams seem to be quenched, the same way the life of Moses was at stake, may God send people. May God send people. May God raise people. In the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah. Lift up your voice and begin to pray. And begin to ask God to connect you with the right people. Begin to ask God to connect you with destiny helpers. Begin to ask God to help you. That you will never be helpless. There will always be people willing to help you. Willing to introduce you. Willing to open doors for you. Willing to enhance you. Willing to speak good about you. In the name of Jesus. Father, I lift up my eyes to the hills from whence comes my help. My help comes from you, the maker of heavens and earth. Lord, you are my helper. But Father, I know that there are people you have ordained on this earth to help me, to open doors for me, to introduce me. Lord, there are people you ordained for me to help them. Lord, I pray that you will open my eyes, oh God, to know, to appreciate relationships. Godly relationships, godly friendships, godly relationships, godly friendships, in the name that is above all names, Shikata, Lebreke, honor my steps, O God, honor my steps, O God, Libra, that I will not miss it, I will not miss it, whether it's in the area of marriage, I pray for everyone at the sound of my voice, that I will not miss it, Lord, in the area of partnership, of business relationships, Lord, of work relationships, Lord God, I pray for everyone at the sound of my voice, that Lord, you will connect them with the right people, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, at the end of it all, we will be careful to give you the glory. and the honor and the adoration in the name which is above all names, the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.